With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's going on, everybody? The Victor Cruz Show is back. We are back again. Myself and Paul Rivera are here in the room. I had the key. He did not. The window was open. I'll leave it at that.
I'm always going to find my way in, baby.
What's Wiggles good, Vic? Is weighing. What's going on, G?
Everything's good, man. I just got back in town today. Came straight from the airport to the studio to surprise you. You thought like you were going to do a show.
Is that a new hoodie?
Nice. Listen. It was chilly on the plane.
I haven't seen that one. Going with
it was chilly on the plane.
With the 95s? That's crazy.
Chilly on the plane. It's more just for
they got blankets,
dude.
They got blankets.
Where you travel, they have blankets. Where I do, no. I'm just lucky if they got pretzels. What's good, brother?
Nothing much, man. Just chilling. I just got back from a couple trips myself. So I'm a little jet lagged, but we're here, man. Let's get it done.
So talk to me, man. I mean, you know, everybody always wants to know. It's your show. Bears. You had, I believe, OTAs. I think you're on break. Talk to us, like, what's happened your last time you were with the Bears and what's about to happen?
Well, we just wrapped up our OTA program, had a three-day mini camp to end things, and, you know, now it's on my own. Now it's summertime. Now it's doing a little bit of traveling, obviously staying in shape, making sure I'm ready to go, making sure my body's ready for the season, but enjoying myself at the same time, man, taking some trips, doing some things. I just got back from Paris Fashion Week, just doing some good things out there, going a couple of shows.
Hold on, you can't just say that casual, like, you know, like, I just got back from Paris Fashion Week.
Real nah, it was
light,
all good.
Real light. What's that? What was that like? Talk to me.
It was a good time, man. I saw my guy Russell Westbrook out there. I saw James Harden, D-Wade, Melo.
Do you feel more and more athletes are going out to Fashion Week
I
now
do.
Than before?
I do. A lot of athletes are really doing it, and it's good. I mean, it's good that they continue to do it. Bryce Butler, I mean, another football guy, I mean, you don't see many football guys out there, though, dog.
Are you one of the first football players to go out to Fashion Week consistently?
Yes.
Okay. Are you one of the first athletes to go out to Fashion Week consistently? I'm not saying the first, but are you?
Yes.
Like, you're seeing an influx of, like,
1,000%.
What do you attest that? What do you think that, how and why is that happening?
I think it's just the people are gravitating to it. You're seeing styles evolve through athletes and the way they wear their clothing and the way that they represent themselves. Like, they weren't showing anybody's outfits walking into stadiums and walking into arenas 5-10 years ago. Mm. You know what I'm saying? 8 years ago. Like, we weren't showing that. That just evolved from athletes going, being front row at shows, going to Paris, doing those things. That evolved from that. And then it's like, oh, we got to capitalize on this. We can sell product this way.
Mm.
Let's show them coming in. They have on a acne jeans, and you know, you're moving product, and you're broadcasting. It's a commercial for you too at the same time for the athlete.
How's Fashion Week work? You reach out to a brand, or your people reach out to a brand and say you want to attend. Do you get an invite? Like, how's that? I'm assuming it's a different process for you and me if I want to go to a Balmain show or something.
It's a two-way process. Sometimes the brands hit you and say, "Hey, we want to invite you to our show," things like that, or you reach out, and then they let you know, whether they have a spot for you and an invitation for you.
And is it competitive with athletes, seating? Like, if you go, is Victor Cruz sitting in the second row of any shows? How's that work?
Let's be very clear. I'm front row at these shows. I mean, not, you know, gloating. That's just where my seat number is.
Okay. You go where they tell you to sit, and it just happens to
the number.
To be.
I just go to the number. Okay. They put the number on
it
the
happens
invitation.
To start with an A.
And a dash next to it. And a dash. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just such a moment. I mean, to be there at the Vuitton show, I mean, that's in Paris, they just say Vuitton. They don't, you know, they leave the Louis out.
How they say it?
Vuitton. Vuitton.
I cannot with you. Oh my God.
And being there front row, dog, when the Drake song is playing and you're vibing out, and it's a beautiful venue, and it's just beautiful people. I mean, you can't beat that, man. You can't beat those moments.
What shows did you go to that you enjoyed? Like, what? I mean, let's assume you enjoyed all the shows. What shows did you go to?
I went to the Balmain show. I went to the Vuitton show. I went to the Tom Brown show. My man Tom Brown. All right, two things. One, conceptually, it was amazing. Like, I get it. I understand where you were going, and I understand where you're taking fashion. On the other hand, he had dudes in heels. Let me clarify. It was a wingtip shoe, that Tom Brown's classic dress shoe. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm following.
He decided to raise it and put a heel on it. So it was, the front was still the same men's wingtip look.
Okay.
Classic look. Heel was up on it.
Okay. I'm not following you anymore. men were in like heels or like a little thick. So, you know, like sometimes like.
Heels. If anybody of my close friends that listen to this show, friends of the show that are on my Snapchat, y'all have seen what I'm talking about. And not only that, he had elongated suiting to resemble a dress almost. So conceptually, it was him fusing the two together.
Okay.
And at the end, the very last look that tied it all together was, he had obviously his final look, one guy comes out, he's in a tuxedo in the front.
Okay.
And his hands are behind him, and I'm like, why is his hands behind him? And you can tell that something else is happening behind him. He comes around, there's a wedding dress from the back. So half of it's a wedding dress.
The same guy.
Same guy. And the front of it is a tuxedo.
That's fashion.
It's conceptual. What he did, I wouldn't call that. That's fashion. I mean, I don't see anybody wearing that.
Okay,
walking down Fifth Avenue or the Lower East Side, for that matter.
Never, never in the Lower East Side.
But with that being said, that's just a little sneak peek at, you know, some of the things that I see that I encounter during Paris Fashion.
And what a lot of people don't realize, look, I've been fortunate. I've been to like two fashion shows here in New York in my life, mm-hmm. and what shocked me more than anything was, one, how competitive it is to get seats. I went with our good friend Omar Johnson, who's CMO of Beats, right? Who loves fashion, and I was surprised how competitive it is to get the seats and like where you sit and how important all that stuff is. What shocked the hell out of me was like how long these shows last.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people how long most of these shows are. Because you think they last an hour and a half. Like you think they last.
At most, I mean, Tom Brown has a longer show because Tom Brown kind of puts on a production. Like, and some of these shows are a full production, but the average show, 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
20 minutes max, the entire show.
And when you go to a show, you being Victor Cruz, is it expected that you're wearing the designer's clothes that you go to? Is it disrespectful if it's not? What's that?
No, I mean, it's just sometimes they dress you, sometimes they don't. So sometimes they just invite you to the show and then, you know, just want you to come there, or it's a presentation and you don't really need to be in the clothing. But for the most part, they do dress you, or they, you know, like Vuitton dressed me in a couple of different brands, but it's all up to the discretion of the brand, to be honest. You reach out, you ask them, and it's either yay or nay.
Okay. So you've been doing a lot of traveling.
A lot of traveling. We're about to do some more traveling. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to Israel for our guy Ronnie Feig's wedding, man. It's going to be such a movie out there.
What's up, Ronnie?
Such a movie.
I think we're all on the same flight, too, which is kind of crazy.
It's going to be real. It's going to be real, man.
Speaking of flights, you was telling me on the way back, you stumbled upon a very interesting movie.
I mean, it's probably been out for a while, but it's the Ray Kroc movie, the founder of McDonald's.
Okay.
And he was just a salesman of like...
It's a true story?
True story.
It's not a documentary.
No, it's a true
story. Based on a true story. Okay.
It's based on a true story. And they have, all, you know, at the end, they put all the documents of what happened to these actual people afterwards.
Okay.
So the guy was just selling milkshake machines of some sort, like a five-way milkshake machine.
Okay, how long ago was this? Do you remember?
This was like the 40s. So mid-40s, mid to late 40s. And he's going around, and he gets a call from this one company that wants 8 of these milkshake makers, 5 at a time, instead of just 1 at a time that they had at the time. And he was like, yo, how much did they order? She's like, oh, they wanted 8. No, 6. And he's like, what? 6? Like, it's got to be a mistake. So he calls them, the company, and he's like, yeah, I heard you guys made an order for 6 of these, you know, milkshake makers. He was like, yeah, we're going to need all 6 of them, and if it gets too swamped, actually, let's make it 8. We need 8 of them. And he was like, what? 8 of them? So he drives across country to this McDonald's hamburger spot, checks it out. They show him the whole technique, how the whole thing works. They're pumping burgers out at a rapid pace. So he has a meeting with them. The next day, he comes in. He's like, you guys need to franchise. Let's do it. Long story short, they allow him to be a franchiser and start franchising these McDonald's.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, they start popping off. and he has this system and he's working it out. He's got these franchisees, owners in check. And within 3 years, he was a multimillionaire.
The
McDonald's brand. He became so big that the original founders of the McDonald's hamburgers couldn't touch him anymore. It was insane.
So he wasn't a founder of McDonald's, but exactly. He became so big in starting with the milkshake machines?
That he bought it from them in 3 years.
Wow. And did he come for money?
No.
He was just a regular working struggling guy,
salesman, just trying to figure it out.
So I have this theory. When you're on planes, you normally you watch movies. You find yourself watching movies you normally wouldn't watch.
Exactly.
I've watched a couple of movies on a plane because we all fly so much.
Those random ones always leave you like, oh.
Yes. You know what's one I saw? It's not new, but it was a couple years ago. Whiplash. I would never watch that.
That was so good.
It's incredible.
It was so good.
It's incredible.
I watched that on a plane also. Like I watched that. It was so good.
So I feel like this McDonald's one is the same thing. Like you wouldn't be at the crib like, oh, I got to watch.
No way.
It comes on at 8 o'clock on Showtime or HBO or whatever. Like, so I'm going to have to check that out. And I think we're on a 13-hour flight on Friday, so we'll have plenty of time to watch that and then some. Yo, so, I mean, you know, this show, we're recording it in studio.
Okay.
In New York City.
Yep.
And today...
New York City, man.
Today, this is not only the sports media capital of the world, I think it's the media capital of the world.
100%.
On fire today with the breaking news early this morning, which you didn't even know about.
I had no idea.
Because you've been doing a camp with the kids.
I had a football camp today. The Victor Cruz Foundation had a football camp for the kids today. Shout out to Pro Camps. Yo, Pro Camps, this company, they really make it easy, man. It's through the NFL. You reach out to them, say you want to do a camp. They hook it all up. All I had to do was show up and vibe with the kids. And, I mean, everybody's there. Obviously, we got to do the sponsorship and bring everybody there. And it was just an amazing event, man. And it turned out really, really
good. How many kids do you know?
We got about...
I saw your snap. It was a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was right under 200 kids. Yeah, something like that.
Just running all over the place. Just madness. Victor!
Yo, the worst is the parents, though. That's the best. Like, yo, it's crazy. Like, people think it's funny.
Like, you expect it from the kids.
The kids
right?
is expected. Okay. I'm already geared up for that.
Right. Okay.
But the mom, mira papi, ven acá.
Oh,
and you're like, whoa, I know I'm in Union City, but you don't got to talk Spanish to me just to get the middle ground with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take your photo with you, baby.
Let's go.
I'm okay.
I know where this is going.
I'm okay. Let's do it.
Well, listen, man, New York City, New York loves their sports, as most major cities do. At the top of that list is the New York Knicks. The Knicks today... parting ways with Phil Jackson. And you were shocked. You walked in here and you were like, wait, what?
I just found out about this 5 minutes ago.
I mean.
It was long overdue.
Let's get right into it.
He was running that place into the ground. Another draft that goes blundered, in my opinion.
Yep, okay.
I mean, it was long overdue. The way he was talking to Melo, I wasn't in agreement with any of that, man. So
yeah, I think
it was time.
I think I agree with you. I think it caught up with him in a sense of, you know, and it's something that happens in sports all the time. Just because you have a specific skill set, it doesn't mean it's going to translate to another, area.
Exactly.
He was a great coach. Arguably, you could argue, maybe the greatest coach ever. He's in the conversation for greatest coach ever. You have Pop and other coaches.
And it sucks that this tenure with the Knicks just tarnished. I wouldn't say tarnished. You think tarnished?
In my opinion.
Tarnished.
I'll say it won't tarnish his coaching career, but what I'll say is this, or his accolades. When the name Phil Jackson comes up today.
It'll have that sting.
Yes, the immediate reaction is a hell of a lot different than it was prior to him coming to the Knicks organization.
100%.
And I think it's a classic example of someone not evolving with time. I think there were signs all along, but we always just gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was Phil Jackson. Right?
Yep.
And you're like, hey, he's done it.
He was
the
king.
And I think it caught up to him, and I think he, the biggest... Listen, you could have whatever philosophy you want, and you can think... triangle offense works, doesn't work, all that stuff is fine. This is a player's league.
By far.
And the minute in any sport, football, basketball, baseball, and the minute you lose sight of that, the minute you lose sight, and it doesn't mean you don't hold players accountable, but the minute you lose sight that it's a player's league, and the minute you embarrass your players by taking locker room conversation And instead of talking to athletes one-on-one, you go and have conversations with the media and you're saying, hey, I think Melo would be better off somewhere else. Hey, I think Porzingis, you know, he skipped this exit meeting. Like, how's that even get out? Like, how's it get out that he skipped
that's
the exit
never
meeting?
Never supposed
you
to
know?
Get out.
I'm sure Porzingis ever. Didn't say I skipped the
at
meeting.
All.
You know, so.
I'm not sure you can pronounce yeah. how to say
so you start questioning some of these things and it's like, I think the game has passed them by a little bit or a lot. I will say this. You know, Dolan gets a very bad rap, and most of it is self-inflicted. But I don't think you can put this one on him. I think when you have an owner of a pro team, what you really want them to do is you want them to commit to spending money to build a team.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to hire the right people, and you want them to get the hell out the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's done that the last 3 years. New York, you were here. New York was on fire when it was announced that Phil was hired. People were almost threw a parade in the city.
100%.
He hired the right guy. He overpaid. I think Phil made $9, $10 million a year, whatever it is, right?
It was pretty real.
He paid him, and he got out the way. And I think if there's any knock on Dolan is he didn't intervene sooner. I think this thing started going off the rails, mm-hmm. and I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, you mentioned the draft. This NBA draft, Dolan had a gig. So Dolan has a jazz band or something, and he's performing during the same time the draft is.
Are you serious?
So if you're Carmelo Anthony or you're Porzingis, and you know, you're taking this serious, you live with this, you live and die with this thing, and your owner is at a gig playing bass or whatever it is he plays or sings or whatever, that sends a message louder than anything.
By far. That sends the biggest message of how you are and how you're responding to your team and how you want to run that team.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. You know, rumors are flying around. I think the last, again, I'll preface it by saying rumor. The last rumor I read on my way here was that the president of the Toronto Raptors was on the short list of people they'd speak to. I think he's great. You know, he's done great things in Toronto. We talked off mic how mm-hmm. I had an idea.
You have a theory.
Yes, a little or a lot. A little, a
speak
very
it to fruition. Put it in the air.
A little or a lot unconventional. I think, and I won't say relationships aside, right? I'm definitely probably a little biased on this.
A lot. We're a lot biased. Let's be clear.
Okay. I think the New York Knicks should pick up the phone and call Rich Paul. There's a precedent for it. You see what the Lakers have done with Paulinka, right? He has experience, obviously, in working contracts. He's gotten contracts for a myriad of players. I'm probably getting in trouble by saying this, but you know, there's a certain player that's a free agent next year at the end of the season who he could potentially have some influence with.
Or the best player to ever pick up a basketball.
And I think, as being a lifelong New Yorker, the thing the Knicks need more than anything, man, more than X's and O's, man, they just need a culture shift, man.
That's it.
They need people to be excited that there's someone there that relates to players, relates 100%. To execs, relates to agents, relates to celebrity. You know, like, I know it's out of the box. I honestly haven't had a conversation. I don't even know if he would be remotely interested. As soon as he hears this, he'll probably call me and be like, what the hell are you doing? But that was just me. It came to mind. I was like, you know what? They need to go out the box and look at things a little differently. Mm-hmm. I just thought it'd be really interesting for that conversation to even happen.
Makes sense. It's not an awful idea.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Shout out to you putting it in the air. Now it's going
to
happen.
I'm just trying to work on my seats.
What do you think about the NBA awards, man?
I have mixed reviews. Okay. I think in theory, the NBA awards are a great idea. I like holding all the awards at the end of the year, you know, it gives it importance. It gives it significance.
I didn't like that.
You
man.
Didn't like it. You didn't like it, or you're
long.
Not used to it.
I'm not used to it. I'm like, yo, it's game three of the finals. Like, what? Did I miss it? Like, I'm confused, man.
So I'm asking you two things. I think one is you're not used to it. Two, a little bit of a separate question. Do you think the playoffs should factor into MVP voting? Because it doesn't currently.
I don't think. That's a tough question. Well,
while you're thinking that, I'll give you some time to think. The only reason I say that is because then it makes a hell of a lot more sense to me. If you have the NBA awards after the season, like you said, you're waiting long for it to be announced. I personally think if it's the NBA, I think it should factor into it. I don't think it does in any other sport. You don't think so? Talk to me.
I don't know. I think because you could have the best season. Russell Westbrook had the best season of his career. Right,
maybe in history. No one's ever done a triple double, right?
No one's ever done it, right? In history.
Well, I think maybe what you call it did. Big O. I think Oscar did. But they was also playing against like milkmen and bus drivers when they got off work.
People that had day jobs.
No disrespect to the Big O, but let's keep it a buck. Let's
be real.
Okay.
So for him to have his best, and then whatever, he goes, let's say he went up against Golden State in the first round and he gets bounced.
You're saying that shouldn't count against
him? So all of that work and then it just goes to nothing?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
You know?
That's a good question. But I would say, I would counter that with saying the most important part of the season.
82 games. Averaged a triple-double for 82 games.
No, it's fair. But the most important part of the season is when it's time to get money, baby.
But that's why there's a finals MVP.
Okay, that's true. Okay, that's fair. Right? So, but specific to the award show.
Because Andre Iguodala's not going to win the season MVP. You know?
I would argue he shouldn't win the finals MVP.
Facts.
Okay.
Because Bron should have won it that year in a loss.
Let's keep it a buck.
He should have won it.
Let's keep it a buck. But I'm with you. I think the NBA Awards, and then I'll ask you what you thought of them. The NBA Awards, I thought, in theory, was a very good idea. I like the excitement of it being like an Oscars or a Grammys and players dressing up and it being really cool, red carpet and all of those things. And I like announcing all of the awards at once. But it is pivotal to the success of that award show or any other award show that you get the right talent in the room.
1,000%.
What I will say in all fairness to them is I heard from people that were in the room, from players and from other people that attended, agents and whatnot, that it was a really dope experience being in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It flowed well, it was done professionally well, that it was really, really, really dope.
I mean,
really
got
sexy,
TNT doing
right?
It. You know,
they're
those people
they're one of the
right.
best in the business,
yeah,
right?
They get
so,
it right?
So I thought that was cool. I don't know if that translated to television, but I do know one of my things was, look, and again, biases, whatnot, you can't have an NBA award show without LeBron James there.
Not even close.
Without Kevin Durant there.
No
without
way.
Steph Curry there.
Just
without,
doesn't
you
work.
Know, so if you're going to do it, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
You
exactly.
know? What was your take on when you heard of it? Like, I know, I mean, the talent was great. Right?
The talent was great.
The host, you know, who was the host?
Drizzy was the host. Obviously. And he showed up with the reporter from the Golden State Warriors. Did you see that?
I did. Roz, I did see it.
Drake, you're the guy, man. I'll just leave it at that. To be honest, I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I didn't watch it.
But that says something to me. Like, you weren't excited enough to watch it.
On, to be honest.
Okay.
I almost got the best vantage point from the Instagram memes and the things that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the concept. I think it can grow to something. I don't think it has to be a smash hit out the gate right now. I think it has time to grow and to build and to figure out its niche and how they get it done. I guess I can, you know, adjust to waiting 94 more days before I hear the announcement for the NBA MVP. And speaking of that, shout out to my guy, Russell Westbrook, man. I saw him in Paris killing it with his family. He's really doing his thing, man. And his speech also was amazing.
Oh, so hold up. Before we get to him, there were the what was dope about the show was that they gave out the awards.
Exactly.
Right? So props to everyone that got the awards. Mm-hmm. I think D'Antoni got Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay, agree with that. Thought he did a great job. Which, by the way, Chris Paul, did you hear this?
Chris Paul that. Went to Chris Paul to Houston.
Houston, which
That's
will be interesting.
Crazy.
It'll be interesting because you
Who
think.
Who did Houston lose?
Your guy, Patrick Beverly.
They got him. Where's he at? I hope he's with the Pelicans.
He goes to the Clippers. Patrick Beverly, Lou Williams, Decker, I think the kid from Wisconsin, I believe it was.
He's a good player.
And a pick in 18.
Okay.
Right, so I think both teams made out. The only thing I question about it real quick is Harden just had the greatest year of his career and Houston had the best, right? And Houston had the best season in a very long time. Him at the point. So now you're moving back to the
two. CP3 makes everybody's life easy, man.
I agree. He plays both sides of the floor.
Makes everybody life easy.
I agree. So D'Antoni got Coach of the Year. A friend of the show's, which a lot of people may not know, is a friend of the show. Draymond got Defensive Player of the Year. You agree with that? Oh, wait, there's a pause?
I guess so. I understand it.
Okay.
I thought, what's the buddy from Utah?
Oh, the big boy.
Gore. That guy.
Yeah, Gobert, Gortat, Gore.
Gobert?
Yeah.
Gobert?
All of those, yes.
All three of them.
Go.
I'm sure his teammates go, and go.
You know what? On the strength of that, he can't win Defensive Player of the Year. We don't know his name.
I think
you thought
he was
going to get it?
I think he was a little bit more dominant than Draymond was.
Drake guards a lot of positions, though, man.
He does.
What he means to that team.
I think that's what sets him apart from. But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard was not.
Wow,
he's,
that's true.
What was he doing all year? Were we not watching what Kawhi was doing?
That's a great point.
I saw a series in the playoffs. I guess we don't count the playoffs since that's what you're saying.
I said we should.
But he had a series where he took the game over on both sides of the court, and I've never seen anything
you
like
talk about
that
Kawhi.
Before. Kawhi
yeah.
Leonard.
Yeah.
He stole the ball in at half court from the point guard, dunks it, comes back down, blocks a guy, takes it 50 feet to the – I'm like, bruh, he's – like 8 points in a row.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that, and you know what I thought immediately? Reminded me of my game.
You know what?
No, honestly, it reminded me of
There's
my –
There's always
it was a flat,
a point in this conversation.
It was honestly –
you go back to your Little League days.
It was honestly like looking in a mirror, right? It was a flashback to like how I dominated both sides of the floor. I don't want to make this about me.
Okay.
But
you just did.
No, but when you talk about Kawhi and dominant performances, it just reminded me of me a lot.
The light bulb went on.
I'm gonna
I almost
keep it.
Saw
Boom. The... Yeah, you saw it. You saw my eye. I was like, yeah, I got to speak on this. So I will say this. I agree with you on this.
Why do I do this, bro? I just don't understand.
Defensive Player of the Year award for the NBA was the one category that out of the three finalists, whoever they gave it to, I would not have had an argument
100%.
With. 100%. If your true. Man Go
yep.
from Utah would have won it, okay.
Okay.
If Kawhi would have won it, okay. If Dre won it, okay.
I like a Greek Freak winning Most Improved, too.
That was
I saw
dope.
That was
dope.
Good.
I like
that was a good moment.
Let me ask you this. So,
kid's a stud.
I know you didn't. Yeah, he's
stud.
I mean, he has the right name.
He's figuring himself. Like, yeah, he's figuring himself out, too.
Let me ask you this. So we spoke on Dre winning Defensive Player of the Year, and I know you didn't actually see the show, but you saw the highlights on that.
Yep,
did you see what Draymond was wearing?
He had the shorts on with the joint, right?
He had a tuxedo with shorts.
I know his stylist, too.
So, okay, so I need to ask you, as being, you know, we entered the show, you talk about Paris Fashion Week and shows, and everyone knows what a, you know, fashion aficionado you are. I sometimes don't know, like, the do's and don'ts of fashion. I don't know, hey, can I wear a polo shirt with a sports jacket? I don't know. Can I do that? Can I not do that? Like,
if you're going to a country club, yeah.
I can do that? Country
if you're
club?
Going to a country club okay. to play golf, absolutely.
Okay. What if I'm going to La Marina? Can I do that?
Not
going to
happen.
No, no.
Unless you work there.
Okay. Okay, note to self. Scratch that outfit I was going to wear next weekend. Dre had on a tuxedo with shorts. Is that
there
ever
tuxedo
okay?
tuxedo shorts with the...
There's such a thing as tuxedo shorts.
It's a faux pas, if you will.
Okay.
If anybody knows what that means. It's
okay.
something that's not traditionally accepted in quote-unquote fashion.
Okay.
But he pulled it off. I think he did a good job. Shout out to Vic Michael, his stylist. He'll love that plug. He's one of those guys that just love plugs. He's like, yo, plug me.
So he,
pause.
Yeah, great pause.
Sorry.
So you didn't see his outfit and be like, what is he doing? Like, you got it.
I understood it immediately.
Okay.
And it fit him well. The blazer, the jacket fit him well. The shorts fit him well. He had the sliders on, the velvet joints with the. He was swagged out. I mean, I accepted it. I wouldn't do it personally.
Okay.
But it fit him, and he got it off.
Okay. You know what we're going to do next time, me and you? Next time there's like an award show, you and I don't know, we'll figure it out. Maybe it's Twitter. Maybe we do a live podcast. I'm going to have you commenting on everyone's
outfits. On everybody's
fits? Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's only right.
I think that'd be great.
It's only right. And I'm going to be there in a tank top and gym shorts.
So brings us back to where you started with Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
2016-17 NBA MVP.
It was unbelievable.
Do you have a problem with him winning MVP?
I don't have a problem with any of it.
Okay.
None of it.
I thought he had one of the most impressive, like I said, one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive seasons we've seen, at least in our generation.
From top to bottom.
His speech. I thought his speech was really dope.
His speech was amazing.
I thought, did you see KD's comment?
No. What did he say?
I believe KD tweeted giving him props.
Really?
And it's no secret, you know, that their relationship's been up and down and icy and whatnot. But I think he tipped his cap to him and said something along the lines of, like, can't deny the season. Russ has had a hell of a season. Congrats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Russ, he probably did, like, the Russ face, you know, the like,
yep.
Why are you talking to me face?
Got it.
But I thought it was incredible. I thought the speech was incredible. I thought, you know, he's had a season like we've never, ever seen before. So it was impressive to see. I think the kid is literally, I mean, look, relationships aside, I think LeBron's the biggest freak in the NBA and one of the biggest freaks in all of sports. But Russ is up there in terms of just athletic ability and what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a freak. And I think it's a perfect transition in speaking to him to, I don't know if you even know this, we have another sponsor today.
Oh.
The Victor Cruz Show has another sponsor, baby.
Yo, the budget, the checks are coming in. We're really killing it, man.
Listen, man, this sponsor, I can't confirm or deny this. I don't have anything in writing. The rumor around Uninterrupted is that this sponsor would only sponsor if I was a part of the show moving forward.
Here we go.
That's just what I'm hearing from my people.
You already had your one shot at this thing, at this gloating situation. Like,
what, the Kawhi comparison to my game?
Yes.
I'm just keeping, that's actually factual. This may or may not be okay. Factual.
Here we go.
This sponsor we have today is called Active 5. So this sponsor, the Victor Cruz Show, is sponsored by Active 5. And when I tell you what Active 5 does, you're going to totally see why they wanted me to be a part of this.
Please tell me, because I have no idea.
So this doesn't rely to, this doesn't actually apply to you,
okay,
because you're a professional athlete, right? And you taking care of yourself and working out is a part of what you do. That's part of the job. For most regular people like myself, you know, what prevents most people from working out is one thing and one thing only. It's time, right? Most Absolutely. People don't have time. So the folks at Active Body have a solution. Active 5 is a new pocket-sized digital device that works with your smartphone to coach you through over 100 5-minute strength training workouts and track your stats and progress. So you heard that right. They have 100 5-minute strength training workouts to track your stats and progress. If that doesn't have me written all over it, a 5-minute workout, I'm all about that life right there. So Active 5, and you can probably help me with this. Active 5 exercises are isometric based, which the NFL does a lot of. They're simple but highly effective. Does that make sense?
Yeah, education level is a stop. You're really killing it right now.
I'm there with it. I'm there with it.
Okay.
The good people at Active 5 say you'll feel the burn after working out with Active 5 just 5 minutes. On average, Active 5 increases strength by 30% over 6 weeks. You have to check this out. I'm only upset they didn't sponsor this show 6 weeks ago because I could have used that 30% for this wedding we're about to go on. I could have used it. So here's where you come in, listeners. You now have time to exercise. Go to active5.com. Go to active5.com. That's A-C-T-I-V, the number 5.com. Everyone, including me, has 5 minutes. You don't have to drive to the gym. I'm telling you, this will be a gym killer. So there you go. I'm getting one. Go to active5.com. Again, that's A-C-T-I-V, the number 5.com. Then enter the promo code Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R.
I got my own promo
Yes. Enter the promo code Victor. At checkout, an Active Body will hook you up with a free water bottle with your order. I'm going to talk to the people at Active 5 and see why I'm not the promo code.
Holla at them.
I'm more of like kind of like the person they're really looking for.
Yeah.
But you, me, we've talked about the same athletic level, same history. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But in all seriousness, shout out to Active 5, man, our sponsor, the Victor Cruz Show, man.
Thank you, Active 5.
They're paying for this 1942 we're enjoying.
1,000%. 1,000%. Active 5, we appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, as we appreciate all our sponsors. Speaking of Active 5, and speaking of like working out, and speaking of staying in shape, something else happened last week while you weren't in town, while you were out of the country.
Talk to me. What I miss? I hate going out of town, man, because I miss. It's always the worst timing.
Well, here's the thing. You may not have missed anything.
Okay.
The Big Three League was in town at
Barclays. Oh, wow. I heard about that.
Did you hear about
that? They got a lot of people there.
They got a lot of people. It looked packed.
But I heard
For those of you that are not familiar with the Big Three League is a league that Ice Cube, who I'm a huge fan of, he's a legend. I know you're a fan of as well.
Absolutely.
Is the commissioner. He put this league of retired NBA players, and they basically play in a 3-on-3 league. So they play each other round robin. They travel to different cities. So they kicked it off in New York, and it ends with the finals, I believe, in Vegas. And it's exactly that. I mean, they have some players that were really great in their prime. I mean, headlined by Allen Iverson, who we'll get into a second. Jason Williams, who we'll get into a second. I mean, Corey Maggette, Deshaun Stevenson, Steven Jack, Bonzi Wells. I'm trying to think. Kenyon Martin. So a lot of names you know. It was mixed reviews. It was mixed reviews.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was injuries, which should be a shocker to absolutely no one.
No one. I just hate it had to be
White Chocolate. Jesus. Which, by the way, is one of my top 10 all-time favorite NBA players.
1,000%.
Like, I'm not saying it's not best even close. Favorite players.
It's not even
like,
close.
I'd pay to see him play.
100%.
So he gets out there, gets hurt, hurts his knee. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't want to speculate, but apparently, like, fairly seriously.
Oh, you heard
so
him
I hope,
yelling.
Yeah,
it.
So I hope he's okay or gets well soon. We don't wish injury on anyone. I think Corey Maggette hurt his knee as well. But what I was telling you earlier, I don't mean to make light of it, like, you can't take off 10 years and think you're going to work out 2-3 weeks and get back into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, very
like,
true.
Like, I think the big thing is, if they were working out 3 weeks and then went to the Y to go play, that's one thing. You put these guys that
at
were
the Barclays.
Yes.
With people watching.
15,000, however many people were there, chanting their name and video promos.
And then isn't it 15-minute halves? It's 30-minute halves or something like this. Or whoever gets to 60 first.
60 points? Jesus. I'm surprised more people didn't get hurt.
Yo, it's insane, man.
Listen, so...
I could have the rules wrong, but something like that.
I like the fact that there's halves. It's troublesome to me. I'm surprised they lasted.
Half court, yeah, by the way.
So I struggle with that. I think for me personally, I hope it works. I hope, you know, I love to see people like Cube and, you know, creating something, and I love to see the legends. I'm guessing they're making a little bit of money off it, so that's great as well. Anytime you can put money in people's pockets. I'm struggling with one thing and one thing only as a fan. I want to remember these guys as the superheroes they were.
100%.
Allen Iverson was as big as the Empire State Building to me.
Absolutely.
I heard Allen Iverson was struggling out there.
1 of 10.
That's what he was, 1 of 10?
That's what he was, 1 of 10.
I saw the one. It's a shot from the elbow.
Did it look
by
good?
Himself. No,
look
it was a shot. I mean...
He made it.
Here's the thing.
Did it
man.
Look good?
It looked like he was out there dribbling in quicksand.
Like that?
Like mentally, he was still like Bubba Chuck. He was still like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. And they were like, no, you're not going to do it.
You didn't do anything, actually.
It was tough for me, man. It was tough for me to watch.
Did anyone look good?
Well, I heard there was a. Here's the other problem. I heard there was a couple of players that people are now talking like they should get a 10 day. Why aren't they?
Come on, just let it go.
Just ride off into the sunset.
10 day?
Yeah, right. A no day. That's what you should get, a no day. So keep an eye out for the big three. It should be interesting. Again, I hope it does work. I hope no one gets hurt, any further players get hurt. It'll be interesting to watch, though.
Now we've reached the area of
the
show.
Yeah, your posture just got really
different. I just got really different.
Yes.
I got really different just now.
This is the most important part of the show.
Most important part of the show, and we saved it for the end because we're going to talk about it for a while.
And you better keep it so real on this show.
I'm going to keep it 1,000 on this show.
I mean, I want you to keep it so real.
I'm going to. That's the only way I keep it on this show.
Okay.
Jay-Z. He put the hyphen back in his name. I don't know if you saw that article that came out recently.
I didn't know it was gone, but go ahead.
It was gone. The hyphen is back in his name.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen the promos that have been coming out there. I don't need to copy and paste anything to you. You understand where I'm coming from with all of this.
Not going to lie to you. I've seen them in multiple cities.
Yeah. Heavy. Yeah. Heavy.
Not just little out of home, like buildings.
No, buildings. The wallpaper's going up.
Yeah.
Because Big Homie is on the way.
Okay.
And this episode comes out today of this Victor Crew show that you're listening to. So in 2 days, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. Okay, Jay-Z 444, the album. I heard one song.
Whoa, I didn't know that. You heard a song?
It's a problem.
You heard a song?
P. Oh, it's a problem. It's the song everyone's heard, the one on the joint.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to ask. Here's what I'm going to ask you, man. You know this. I am just as big a Jay-Z fan as you are. We grew up on him. I probably learned more, and also I probably learned more from Hove than I did in college.
Accurate.
All right. Hove has raised many a young man. All right.
You're looking at one.
Right. So we're not having a conversation. Is Hove the GOAT, the best to ever do it? That's been established. The conversation we're having is in 2017, are we going to get GOAT Hove? Or are we going to get Washington Wizards Michael Jordan?
I read an article the other day, and they put it exactly where how I wanted to explain it, but couldn't find the words to do so. And they said, Jay doesn't need to put out any more music. Let's be clear. I think everyone knows that. I think that's safe to say. He doesn't need to put out any more music. I think Jay now, when he puts out an album or he puts out a body of work, it's about a state of the union. It's about him establishing and letting us know how hip hop is through his eyes and where he wants to take it and where it should go. That's what Hove does. Death of Auto-Tune. That's what that was.
another State of the Union, yo, this ain't flying no more.
Okay.
You know, I agree with that.
I just don't know if that's what we're getting. I want State of the Union.
No, I think I just said
I don't want
it.
Him talking about wheelies or whatever that was he did.
The hyphen.
The hyphen's back.
I just mentioned that. You feel me?
Okay. And this is the full body of work, full as far body. As you know.
From what I know, it's an album. When Jay puts out an album, it's an album. And I love the minimalistic approach. I love that it's... We're only getting some, a couple memes or mm-hmm. a couple short videos on Instagram, and we're getting, you know, just enough to be like, oh, what is this? That mystery that Jay always has, you know? And it's gonna be a good album. I'm biased, but I think it's just perfect timing. I think it's a perfect time frame to put out a body of work like this. There's a lot that he can talk about, a lot of things. A lot of things, a lot of topics.
There is.
That he hasn't addressed ever, and he only does it through the music.
I have some questions.
Talk to me.
I'm hoping you can answer.
I hope I can.
You are Roc Nation Sports affiliated.
Absolutely.
Right? That's family for you over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not asking you to give out any secret to the trade that you may or may not know. I'm asking you as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to address any of these shots that people have taken at him?
I think so.
Whether directly or indirectly.
I think so. I think he has to. I think it's almost blasphemy not to.
I agree with you.
For him not to.
But he needs to be very careful.
Why?
Be very careful. Don't shake up that bee's net. Don't do that.
What you mean?
Some of these young boys are salivating for him to mention a name. Don't do that.
You didn't hear any of them boys say his name, though. Listen, you don't see that happening either. Let's be clear about that.
Nor should they. We do know a couple of
shots
people.
Shots were taken. Yes.
Shots have been fired. I just don't want to see Hove out there like Jay Williams in the Big Three.
Stop.
I don't want that.
Don't do this, man.
I don't.
That'll never happen.
I'm cool with Hove being courtside with B. I'm cool with all that. He's earned that. He's earned the right to be called the GOAT. He's earned all that. I don't want MJ on the Wizards, man. I don't want him to come out here and be...
Just wait on it, P. I'm telling you. Wait on it.
What's Lenny S. saying? Is he saying anything to you? What's he saying? What's he saying to expect?
Nothing but positivity. But shout out to Lenny S., by the way. Khaled is out here moving.
Yes, he is.
Moving.
Yes, he is.
And the funny thing is, I didn't like that Wild Thoughts song, man, at first.
I don't think I've heard it.
To be honest. You haven't heard
it? Who's on it?
I've heard it in a nightclub in Paris, France.
You always got to work Paris, France into this any conversation we have.
Really?
Not Yo, how they time. Pronounce Vuitton again?
Vuitton.
Let me ask you. I'm going to put you on the record. If you had to put your name on it, I'm putting a gun to your head. Is this going to be a really, really strong Hove album? Or is it going to be something that he was bored and he put together? What do you think?
I think it's going to be a really strong Hove album. And you can tell, if you don't wake up in the morning and you go through your Instagram page and you see that logo, you see that 444, and you don't get butterflies in your stomach, you're absolutely in a different space in life. Because every time I see it, every time I see that little video promo with Buddy from Moonlight swinging in the air in a dark room, and then they zoom in on, that inspires me to go do something.
You don't know what, but something.
I don't know what it is yet, but it inspires me to get up off of my ass and to go do something with my life in a timely manner. Jay-Z has provided, he put the hyphen back in his name, P. He's ready to go, and I'm not going to let you tell me otherwise. And what's even better, I'm going there right now. What's even better is this is going to be the soundtrack for Israel and Ronnie's wedding, because it comes out the day we fly out.
Here's what I am going to say to that. You, as a Roc Nation representative, we leave on the 30th. It drops on the 30th. It's only available to Sprint users, I believe.
I have Tidal, though. Does
you have Tidal? Is it on Tidal? It should be on Tidal.
It should be on Tidal.
Irregardless, I don't care if you have Tidal, Mido, Nodal.
By the way, Mango in the Hood, he's going to have that link to me ASAP.
That's my whole point. I expect you to have that. That's what we're listening to.
1,000%. Nothing else.
Okay. On your next show.
Okay.
We are going to break down that album, and you better have that same energy.
You better. I will. I will. You better. I know these feelings I have in my heart will not fail me, P.
You better bring that same energy once the album's out in the world.
Let me text Jay real quick and just make sure. Just to get a full, just a synopsis, a track list.
We might need to get Lenny up here next show. I want to hear what he has to say. Listen, let me be clear. I hope it's really good, man.
I hope so, too.
For his legacy.
I know. I feel it, B. I can feel it. Pause. I understand. He's took so much. Do you know how many things he has to talk about? How many topics?
I agree.
Current events, personal life that he takes jabs at, that he keeps us abreast on in his music. That's the only way he knows how to, because he doesn't do interviews like that.
True.
He doesn't.
It's true.
The only way he tells us anything is through that music, man.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Drakes of the world have their ears perked up, ready to listen to this? Do you think the Kendricks,
everyone,
the Rick Rosses?
Everyone. The world stops, PR. Do you not understand this? The world stops.
I don't disagree with that. What I will say, my last take on this album is, he better be very careful. Because if he mentions a name he shouldn't mention, there's young boys salivating across
the mic. He said a name before.
Okay.
We've all heard it.
Listen, keep that. You know what? I'm going to go with the clap. Keep that same energy when the album drops.
Oh, man.
Take us home, brother.
That was another episode of the Victor Cruz Show, man. I appreciate you guys tuning in always. We got out the sponsor. You want to give one last plug to the sponsor?
Active 5. I'm going to do it as soon as we get off. 5-minute workout.
Real quick.
I need to get in shape for this wedding. It's
Real
Friday.
Quick. It's,
so I got like 2 workouts,
it's a little
10
late
minutes.
Or, it's late
two,
already.
They said 5, 30%, 6 weeks. So I figure if I do 2 workouts, that gives me at least like 3% or something.
Easy.
Like,
easy
yeah,
3%.
Yeah. I got to fit into that tux too. I think I may have gained a couple pounds.
Can I close the show?
No, do your thing. Do your thing. My bad.
Again, I don't know where I find this guy. Thank you guys for tuning into the show. We'll be back soon, man. We won't leave you guys hanging. Uninterrupted, The Victor Cruz Show, The Victor Cruz Foundation, at Team Vic. PR, what's your handle?
At PR again, at PR underscore RWTW.
And thank you guys for tuning in, man. See y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.